This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, we are halfway to Halloween and Disney shared some spooktacular announcements, fun merch to celebrate May the 4th,
a very familiar face in DCA, vacation deals for the summer, we talk with Tag and James before they sail away, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our unbirthday party. For your safety, please be sure to stay listening with your hands, arms, feet, and ears inside the podcast. And please, do give Tag and Teresa easier trivia questions. Well, it seems DL Weekly is about to begin. Have a most wonderful time. Perhaps tea time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of May 8th, 2024. I'm Teresa Urban.
And filling in while Tag's away, I'm Vern Wisensell.
Well, we would like to thank everyone who supports the show. This week, we would like to give a special shout out to Shanna D and Kyle A for becoming new weekly tiers, and Andrea M for increasing your support. If you would like to help support the show to make sure we can keep bringing you the latest news and information, discussion, and interviews about Disneyland, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Now, let's get to the news.
Well, we are halfway to Halloween, and to celebrate, Disney has announced dates for this year's Oogie Boogie Bash. This frightfully fun party is returning with 27 select nights beginning August 25th through Halloween night. Check out our link in the show notes for the full list of dates. So as you all know, Tag and I super, super love this. This has got to be, I mean, we haven't experienced many, but this so far has been our favorite after hours night. This past year for 2023, it sold out in crazy record time. So I'm glad to see that they have added more dates so more people are able to go and experience this fun evening. It's just the best. If you haven't experienced Oogie Boogie Bash before, highly, highly, highly recommend.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get out to one myself, but just hearing your stories about it when you get home and just seeing the excitement on your face as you're telling the stories about it and all the candy and all the, you know, the fun, you know, things that you come back with, your new ears, new shirts, everything that you come back with, all the merch. It just seems like such a great time.
Tag and I keep saying the next time we take the two of you out for an after hours event, it's got to be Oogie Boogie Bash.
Oh, definitely.
It's just awesome.
Yeah, and with 27 nights for it this time around, it's so much more opportunity for people to be able to do it, too. Yeah. That's awesome.
So the party nights are mainly Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights. But again, please check the link in our show notes for the full list of details. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all 27 because it's a lot, but it's in our show notes. So if you're thinking about going to Oogie Boogie Bash, now's the time to start planning.
Well, Disney has released bone-chilling merch items to get everyone in the Halloween spirit. Sneak peek items include clothing, jewelry, bags, games, toys, and more. There is something sure to delight all trick-or-treaters.
So, this stuff looks so good. So, I was looking at this earlier today when it was posted, because they posted this as we're recording on May 6th, and holy cow, it was 34 different things that they posted. Not only things that are coming to the parks, but also things that are going to be coming outside of the parks, because there was different Lego and there was different games and different like Funko Pops, books, all sorts of different stuff. But the things, of course, that I was the most excited about are park specific. They had sneak peeks for some Oogie Boogie Bash merch. The super popular giant Mickey pumpkin that you can take home, that decoration is back, but with more. There is now a smaller version of the Mickey pumpkin And there's a larger version of the Mickey pumpkin, but it's mini. So you can now have like a little Mickey and Minnie pumpkin family. They're so cute. These are so big. Hopefully they'll come back to Shop Disney, because I don't think I'm going to get these back on the airplane with me to come home. But man, they are super adorable.
Those would look great on our porch with all of our other carved pumpkins and stuff.
Anything stick out to you?
As I'm scrolling through and looking at these, of course, I have my button front shirt collection, and I'm looking at the Haunted Mansion button front shirt, and that looks really cool.
Yeah,
along with all of the wallpaper shirts and everything. Those are great.
It's a black button up that has different white items from the mansion on. So I see, like,
it's all the stuff from Leota's room.
Yeah. You're right. Well, and there's a hatchet on there for Constance. Yeah. It's cool. Fun little details. But yes, lots of different wallpaper, printed stuff. I really like this purple wallpaper zip pullover that they've got there. There's also a really fun, I like the t-shirt too. I'm going to spend way too much money. Did you see this backpack and sling bag that's Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
So instead of the classic purple color, it's like a eerie teal color with the wall, again, with the wallpaper print. But yeah, so good.
Very cool stuff.
So good.
And I'm liking the Mickey skeleton plushie.
Mickey in his little skeleton outfit. Tons and tons of good stuff. Again, sure, for something for everyone that they've released. And this is just the sneak peek. Well, to help celebrate May the 4th, which, I mean, we're still talking merch here, there are some new items that have appeared in Galaxy's Edge. New versions of the Jedi and Sith holocrons have been spotted at Doc Ondar's, as well as updated Kyber crystals. The crystals are the same colors as before, but feature new voices with new advice or dialogue, or however you want to say it. But the cast members also reported that there are two new chasers. So before we had one chaser, it was the black Kyber crystal. Now you might find a cracked blue crystal or a cracked red crystal when you're opening your new Kyber crystals. So Vern, you're much more of a Star Wars person than I am. So what are your thoughts on these? So we had the holocrons before.
Yeah.
The Jedi holocron was a different color, though. It was gold and blue. Mm. This new one is silver and green.
Green, yeah. And very cool looking. Mm. Yeah, I'm loving the detail on it and the coloring and everything. To be completely honest, as much a fan of the Star Wars universe as I am, I'm not really keeping up too much on this particular lore. To my knowledge, it's the Clone Wars holocrons from a lot of the Rebel stuff, too. I remember Ezra and Darth Maul fighting over the holocrons. And
so basically, holocrons, from what I have gathered in the Star Wars universe, hold like advice from past masters, whether they're Sith or Jedi. So for Disneyland, what you do is you can take the Kyber crystals, and you can put your Kyber crystals in the holocrons, and that's where the new voices and new...
Okay, so that's how they work.
I don't know if it's advice if it's coming from a Sith Lord or not. Yes, it's advice if it's coming from a Jedi Master. But sure. I wasn't sure what to call it for what you're getting from the Sith.
It could still be advice in its way.
You're a Sith. But so anyways, new information from voices of the past. So, but the Sith one looks really cool. So the Sith one is silver and red.
Yeah.
But it's got this like smoky black kind of lines going through, almost like it looks like smoke in the middle of it. It looks really cool looking.
But
so fans of holocrons, definitely go check these out. And if you're someone that owns a lightsaber, you got to check out the new crystals. I'm really excited to see what the cracked crystals look like. I'm kind of nervous to tell Tag, because he really wanted a black Kyber crystal and totally lucked out. He had me, no pressure. He made me choose, okay, Teresa, which of these red Kyber crystals, which one has the black one in it? And he bought it, and it completely dumb luck. We opened it and it was a black Kyber crystal, which is very, very rare to find. It's a chaser. So now there's two new chasers. So I'm a little nervous, because I'm sure we're going to have to try and find those.
So what is the chaser?
So the chaser means like it's rare. So it's just random in, so like the black kyber crystal, for example, there isn't, you don't just say, hey, I want to buy a black kyber crystal.
Sure.
It's just, it's like 1 out of 100 of the red kyber crystals or something. I used to know what the actual mix was, but it's just random.
Okay.
It's randomly, but it's only going to be found in a red kyber crystal package. So I'm going to assume same of the blue and the red kyber crystals. The cracked blue crystal is probably 1 in 100 of the blue kyber crystals or whatever the mix is. And now I don't know about the red one because the black ones used to be, you know what I mean? There was already the one chaser in a red. Now there's two different chasers possibly in a red. Anyways, we'll let you know the more we learn about this, but I thought it was really exciting
It's not necessarily of actual Star Wars lore. It's a merchandising thing. As far as we know. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Where I've been getting lost because I'm sitting here going, I know what these, you know, the holocrons are. I'm just not keeping up with the rest. What did I miss? Oh, is there an episode of something I didn't see?
No. I think this is just something specific to the merch.
Okay.
I mean, black kyber crystals, of course, exist in the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah. That's how they were able to make the Darksaber.
Yep.
Yes.
As far as the cracked red or cracked blue, I don't know where that fits into the Star Wars.
That's not anything I recognize from any episode of something I've seen, but I also haven't read any of the books or the comics, so maybe that's something we'll have to ask James about when he gets back.
Or if any Weekly Tears know the answer.
Yes, definitely.
If there's a backstory that ties the cracked crystals into the Star Wars universe, write in and let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always willing to learn more, so... A familiar face has been spotted in DCA. A Big Al statue is part of the new DVC stand in the Grizzly Peak Recreation Area. The large wooden carved character is not only a great photo spot, but it also interacts with your Magic Band Plus.
This is so fun. For those of you who don't know who Big Al is, Big Al is one of the country bears. So Big Al used to reside over in Disneyland in Critter Country, where... the Winnie the Pooh attraction now stands that used to be the Country Bear Jamboree, and Big Al was one of the performers there. And he's probably one of the ones that people recognize the most because he's got he's funny because he's just this big fluffy bear with this kind of a little bit too small for him guitar. And a
little bit too small? It looks like a ukulele in his hands.
He's got a small guitar, and he's got like a floppy brown hat on, and he's just, I don't know, I just think he's so fun. But his little guitar has a horseshoe with his name, Big Al, in it. But yeah, this looks like it's carved from a tree stump. We have not seen it in person yet, so I don't know if it is truly carved or if it's just made to look that it's carved. So not only is this cool that they kind of took a character that's really not present in our parks anymore and brought him back. We have had some meet and greets. I will say that there has been some Country Bear meet and greets over in this area recently. But I think it's fun that they're bringing him back into it. And it makes total sense that he's over in the Grizzly Peak area.
No, totally.
But the fun thing is they keep doing this. I was so excited with Magic Bands being able to interact with the construction wall over at the Haunted Mansion. And now we're seeing more Magic Band interaction things popping up throughout the park. So in DCA, the other thing that has Magic Band interaction is the big Pixar colorful display. I don't know like if it's a mobile or a statue or what you want to call it, but you can wave your Magic Band on that and different Pixar characters say little things. Well, now Big Al, you can go over and say hi to him, and there's different sayings that he tells you as well. They did tie it in to DVC because you might be wondering, how does this tie in and why is it at the DVC information kiosk? Big Al does talk about the importance of going on vacation and how he enjoys vacation because one of the shows that was at Country Bear Jamboree was like the vacation hoedown. So they talked, you know, so it ties in. It's not completely random. It ties in well with the area and it ties in well with the subject.
Do you think this might also be a harbinger of possibly bringing back the Jamboree?
So a lot of people online are hoping maybe not bringing back the Jamboree, but they're hoping that this might be like a hint of things to come, that perhaps the Country Bears will be back. Some people are saying, why don't we theme Grizzly River Run to have the Country Bears like somehow incorporated in Grizzly River Run? Other people have been saying, take out the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, which I do not agree with, but take out the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, put the theater there to bring the Country Bears back there. But yeah, so there's people online are looking into this and thinking, ooh, this might be a hint of things to come. I'm not sure if it is. There's been no official reports from Disney, but one thing's for sure is he's at least back in this carved wooden interactive form for now.
Okay.
Well, just announced new summer 2024 tickets and hotel offerings are coming to Disneyland. The ticket deals for 3-day tickets used on Monday through Thursdays for a limited time. Prices start at $50 per day for children and $83 per day per adult. Guests can also save 25% on select stays at the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, or the Villas when staying 4 nights or longer. Or you can save up to 20% on stays Sunday through Thursday without a minimum night stay. These special deals go on sale May 29th and can be used on visits during June 10th through September 26th. So not only do you get to like enjoy summer with these sizzling hot deals, you could also enjoy some of the beginnings of Halloween time. Because like we just mentioned earlier, Oogie Boogie Bash starts August 25th.
Yeah.
And these deals are good through September 26th. So contact concierge if this is something you're interested in. They are on it when it comes to these types of deals, and they can help snag you the best price. Well, we first spoke with our friends over at We're in the Park back on episode 265. Amanda and Kevin create amazing and fun seek and find scavenger hunt games in the theme parks all over the United States. Whether you want a challenge at the Disneyland Resort or want to explore a new place like Universal Studios, Knott's Berry Farm, or SeaWorld, there are fun game packs for everyone. From beginner to expert, Where in the Park is perfect for a first-time visit to experience the small details that make the parks wonderful places to visit, or to challenge yourself on your 1,000th visit to see how well you know these details. Where in the Park is for you. Visit the link in our show notes to get started, and be sure to use code DLWEEKLY for 10% off your order.
Yoo-hoo! Hello, everybody! It's me, Heimlich! Mein stomach is so empty! Hey, help me to go find something to eat! Come on, everybody, here we go!
So this week for Snack Chat, we are venturing to Downtown Disney to check out the menus for the newly opened Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita locations. These all just officially opened on May 1st. Very, very excited. So we did talk a little bit about Paseo already and what their menu was, because Mice Chat, I believe it was, had a sneak peek and shared their menu a week or so ago. But we haven't really been able to see Centrico or Tiendita's menus, and I'm really excited to kind of dig in. So first up, we'll talk about Centrico. Again, that's the big round eatery that's kind of in the middle of the walkway right in Downtown Disney. So, Vern, first thoughts of the menu and what you're seeing here. Anything that sticks out to you?
Well, first off, you had me at tacos.
Yes.
You can never go wrong with any menu that has the word tacos.
There you go.
And then it's immediately followed by 3 per order. So, I mean, you had me right there. Served with salsa, sour cream, and guacamole. So, I mean, that... I'm sold. Looking over, I mean, you've got the fish tacos, carne asada tacos, cochinita pibil tacos.
Chicken taquitos.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of delicious things. There's also many different quesadillas, some sides that are available here. French fries with garlic butter. Interesting. There's also Mexican street corn, which sounds delicious. Black beans, tortillas, pinto beans, and Mexican rice. Yum. The Mexican rice says it's made with tomato broth, peas, and carrots. Oh, delicious.
Oh, and did you see the avocado flatbread up at the top?
Yes, I was going to say. There were some like appetizers, and the one that caught my eye was the avocado flatbread.
Yeah.
Yum. Also, there's more mains. There's different salads. I am very curious about this. I don't know. This just seems very different and unique and not something that I've seen on many menus, but there's on the main dish side, there's one that's Delicata Squash, which is a roasted squash, mint with avocado, salsa, dill, roasted pumpkin seeds. I need to know what this is. I really want to try this because I mean, I'm used to, right, burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Sure.
Love, love, love all that. But this seems very different and unique to what I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited.
That does sound good. I'm also checking out the Centrico hamburger.
Mm-hmm. I've heard rave reviews about this hamburger.
Yeah.
The hamburger is 8-ounce Wagyu beef. It's a brioche bun, Gruyere cheese, pickled yellow beets, oven-roasted tomato, truffle aioli, black truffle sauce, and garlic butter French fries. Delicious. Okay, so again, those are some items that are at Centrico. Over at Tienditas, they also have tacos, burritos, quesadillas, and nachos, but they've got some ceviches and salads as well. So tacos, again, 3-pour order. Similar, there's chicken, there's al pastor, pork, carne asada. There's also a mushroom tinga taco. Quesadillas, again, similar meats. There's nachos here. I don't believe that we saw nachos over at Centrico. Tostadas, also here, delicious. And ceviches. So what are some things that are sticking out to you?
The tostados with the tuna or the crab.
Mm-hmm.
That's really catching
both,
my eye.
Both seafoods tostadas.
Mm-hmm. And with the on the crab one, it's not, you know, just throwing the crab on a tostada, but they've also got carrots, peas, chives, cilantro, and avocado. Mm-hmm. So there's that blend of throwing in the veggies and getting a little different medley of flavor in there.
Did you see the tuna? It's got tuna, chipotle mayo, green onion, avocado, cilantro, sesame mm-hmm. seeds, fried leeks,
yeah,
and mint.
Yeah, it's just that wow. They're taking a different spin on things. Yeah. I'm enjoying that.
Very, very fun. Well, we highly recommend checking these places out. We hope to check these places out ourselves soon. So Paseo, again, is the more upscale restaurant. It is seated dining. Centrico is more casual, again, in the center of the walkway. Walk-up dining, seated as well. The one that's a little bit different is Tiendita. It's kind of you walk up and grab and go. You do get to order on what looks like an oversized iPad or like a screen. You wait for your order. There is actually no seating for Tiendita. So you take your stuff, grab and go, find a different area to sit. So that's a little bit different. Something to keep in mind if you're thinking about going to check these places out. But yeah, they look really great. Well, you've heard us talk about our great experiences staying at the Howard Johnson in Anaheim. Well, we have partnered with them to offer our listeners some very cool discounts. Weekly tiers can get 15% off their stays, and Magic Keyholder Weekly tiers get 20% off. To take advantage of these great discounts, head on over to dlweekly.net and click on the Howard Johnson logo. Be sure to use the promo codes on the site to get the discount that you qualify for.
DL Weekly announces the boarding of the Trivia Express, nonstop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we are going to find out how good Teresa does without Tag holding her back.
I'm telling you. Usually every week for Trivia Land, I have a little notebook and I write down what our answers are. So then by the time we come back to Trivia Land, Tag and I remember what it was that our answers were. So I just usually I have I make a Teresa column and then a Tag column.
Uh-huh.
This week I did Teresa for a column, and then I did no one with a sad face for my second column, because I'm all alone in Trivia Land. It can be a scary place over here, so.
Nobody to hitch their wagon to you.
Well, and I can't hitch my wagon to anybody. I'm on my own.
Yep.
We'll see how this goes.
it's all listener submitted tonight, and I tried to not be too mean to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Especially because, you know, with both Teg and James being gone, mm-hmm. it's going to be just the two of us for a little while here. So, you know, you won't have James to pick on you next week. So,
I just have you to pick on me.
I know. So I tried to start it off easy and we'll see how you do. And maybe we'll ramp it up next week.
All right.
So your first listener submitted question tonight from listener hashtag Save Teresa's Trees.
This is my favorite. I love this so much. Shout out. You get whoever this is, you get bonus points. Hashtag save the trees. I love it.
WALL-E is probably one of the most beloved little robots known to cinema history. What does WALL-E stand for?
Ooh. I feel like a terrible person.
Don't feel too bad. When I saw the answer, I went, oh, wow. God, I knew that, but I didn't know that. I've read it, but I never would have come up with it on my own, even though I've read it.
I'm trying to think because, right, he's a little robot that's, like, cleaning up.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to think, you know, what that could maybe translate into, like, what? Dang.
Maybe there's waste.
Waste eliminator? I don't know.
And he lifts loads.
You're really feeling sorry for me this week. Waste and load. I don't know. I have no idea. I feel like extractor, eliminator, something like that. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
All right.
Even with your hints, I still don't know. I'm sure there's many a weekly tier probably yelling at their podcast players right now what the answer is. Gosh, I feel like such a bad. You know what? I was even just on an episode of The Hub Crawl, and I was talking about how I thought WALL-E was a very underrated Pixar film that people kind of forget about. And here I am, not even knowing what his name stands for.
Anything that can portray that much emotion.
I know, that's what I
was
saying.
45 minutes of not a single word being spoken.
It's beautiful.
It's
a really beautiful film with a really good message.
I don't know if it's a full 45 minutes, but I actually read once somebody broke down the number of minutes where there's not a single word spoken, and yet so much emotion can be conveyed. It's insane.
All right, well,
we're
going to
go
stumped.
With stumped on that one? All right.
Bad WALL-E fan, that's what I am. A bad WALL-E fan.
All right, your second listener-submitted question from listener Tim J. In the Kew Courtyard for Pirates, the ride name sign above the fountain features images of two blank and a blank.
Oh, goodness. It's two, I want to say it's mermaids. Two mermaids. You're giving me a weird look. Two mermaids.
To see what the next is.
And I feel like it's a...
See, I'm usually on the other side of the room and you can't see the looks
I
give.
Yeah. And like, I'm trying to think of what the... I feel like I should know the thing in the middle, but of course I'm second guessing myself. I feel like it's a skull wearing a pirate hat in the middle.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Two mermaids and a skull. Final answer. All right. Your third listener submitted question from listener Michael R. What is the name of the public house / inn that you see in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
The public, like Winkies?
No, the other one.
Different one.
Mm-hmm. Winkies is the one you actually go to. There's another one that you just kind of float out by.
Scoot on past?
Yes.
I don't think I know that one. Is that where Sherlock Holmes is? Is it about? I'm always too busy waving to Sherlock in that scene. I don't know if the place that you're talking about is before or after. But I'm stumped. I'm not doing so well. I'm stumped on that one, too.
I don't exactly remember from the last time that I watched a ride through of the ride. So I can't tell you if it was before or after Winkies, where the public house is.
All right. Well, I'm still stumped.
Okay. Your next listener submitted question from listener Andy M. Disney legend Sterling Holloway was famously the original voice for Winnie the Pooh. Can you name three other animated characters or narrators he has voiced?
Holy God, you said you were going easy on me this week.
They all sound like Winnie the Pooh.
Okay. Oh my gosh. They all sound like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And you said they're what, characters?
Yeah.
Or narrators?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I miss Tag. He could at least be stumped with me during all of this. I don't know. I can't even pull a random guess out of thin air. Failing at Trivia Land this week. I'm going to get kicked out and never asked back.
So we're going stumped on that one. All right.
Yeah. Well, we got three stumps and a perhaps.
Well, your bonus question from listener Donna S.
Oh, Donna, please. Maybe there's some hope.
How deep is the Jungle Cruise River?
It's not that deep. I don't know what it actually is. But it's not very deep. It's like, I was going to say like 3 feet. Between 3 and 4 feet is my guess.
So like 3.5-ish?
Sure, yes, we'll go 3.5.
3.5-ish, okay.
We'll go 3.5 feet.
I mean, between 3 and 4 would be 3.5, yeah. Right? Okay. So 3.5, final answer.
Yes.
All right. Well, listeners, how do you think Teresa did without Tag? How did you do listening at home? Well, stick around until after the discussion and we can all find out together.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, for this week, we are checking in with Tag and James before they head off on the cruise. As you listen to this, they will be somewhere in the middle of the ocean enjoying their time on their first ever Disney cruise. However, they are not strangers to cruising at all. But again, this will be the first Disney cruise. So welcome back, Tag and James.
Thank you.
Which will be funny because we are not on the other part of the podcast, just on this part.
Yes, exactly.
But we've done that.
You're just visiting Discussion Land, taking a vacation from Trivia Land and News Land.
Yeah, something like that.
Tell us about the cruise. Where are you going? What ship are you on?
Ooh, good
what
question.
What are the stops?
So we are sailing on the Disney Dream. We leave from Fort Lauderdale, and 13 nights later, we will end up in Barcelona, Spain.
Yeah, so they're doing an interesting one because a lot of cruises start and stop at the same port, but this one is transatlantic, so it starts in one place and ends in another.
Got to get the ship over for the Mediterranean summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these cruises, I don't think happen too often because like James just said, it's basically them having to shift boats around.
Yeah, it seems like for all the cruise lines, it's about twice a year. They do it usually in the April-May timeframe, then they do it in like the October timeframe. To switch things back or whatever. So, but for the summer, some of the boats go over to the Mediterranean in Europe. And then like for the winter time, the boats come back and do like the Bahamas and all that kind of stuff. So we picked this because we like cruising. We've been looking at cruises in general, trying to get on another cruise because Teresa, you and I go to Disneyland a lot. James doesn't not like Disneyland, but he also likes other vacations. So cruises is usually the vacation that we go on that checks James's vacation box, because what he would really like, we don't really compromise on, which is he would love to sit on a beach and have drinks brought to him like for a week straight and not do a single thing.
Just embrace the sun and the nice weather and it would just be wonderful.
That but is not my type of vacation.
Tate can't do that.
I need to be doing something. I get bored too quickly. I can't sit and read a book or just sit on the beach. Like I want to be doing something. So
then when you're on the cruise ship, do you get to sit and relax in the sun and then just let Tag do whatever he wants to do?
Yeah, if we decide to split up, which we've done once or twice, then I can just kind of sit and do whatever, and Tag will wander the ship and find whatever he's kind of interested at the time.
I don't know why, I really enjoy wandering the ships.
I hope you allow James some lounging time on cruise.
Yeah, this will be the longest cruise we've ever been on. I think the longest cruise before this was 7 nights or 8 nights, maybe.
We did 8 nights, our first one. Yep.
Yeah. So I think this one will be long enough that we'll definitely want to be doing everything.
So when it comes to cruising in general, what are the things that you most enjoy about it besides lounging and Tag exploring the ship? What are like the highlights or the things that have stood out to you in previous cruises?
I'll say the two things we tend to talk about most of thinking about past cruises would be the food and the entertainment.
Ooh.
The food always seems to stick with us because most cruises we've been on, we've been pretty amazed with the quality of food that we've gotten and the variety that we've gotten to try. And so it's always a really nice experience on that one.
Yeah, I would agree. I think food is one of the nice things about cruising or any type of place that you can eat that, you know, any type of like buffet or whatever, is you get to try a lot of things you wouldn't normally try because there's no like risk.
Sure.
Because like if you go to a restaurant and you order something and you don't like it, you've paid for that, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a risk there that you're going to buy something you don't like. But on a cruise, because it's all inclusive, it's nice to be like, you know what? I'm going to put a little bit of that on my plate. I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I'll put a little bit to try it. And also just like dinners. One of the things I think cruise people don't, at least when we first cruised, we didn't know this, was at the sit-down dinners, you could order multiple entrees, multiple appetizers, multiple desserts. Mm-hmm. Like you can order whatever you want and they'll bring it to you.
And they tend to come in smaller portions as well, yeah, making it accessible for you to do that or go to the buffet later or whatever you're kind of craving.
Yeah. So I like the idea that I can try different things, and I found things that I never would have tried otherwise that I've ended up liking and then been like, oh, well, that's a new like favorite thing or whatever. And because there wasn't that like, you know, potential for for loss of money or time or whatever. But for me, now you asked the question about like, what do you look forward to? I honestly just like the boats. Like ever since I saw Titanic as like a kid, I have just liked the idea of boats. And for the first time before I went on any cruise, it was difficult for me to comprehend the size of these boats.
Sure.
Now that we've been on them, like, you know, I'm more used to it. So that's, it's not like as mind boggling or whatever. It's still amazing. Like these are floating cities.
Yeah.
They can be self-sustained for, you know, at least a week usually.
I always joked because you said that you're interested in the boats, which is 1000% true, because whenever you talk about past cruises, most people I'd say, oh yeah, our 7-night cruise to the Bahamas, or like they talk about like the like when they refer back to the cruise, they usually talk about the cruise like as in the destinations.
Ports that they went to, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas you're like the ship name. Like
yep.
Which not everybody maybe, you know, maybe knows the ship names. In fact, now that we're saying this, I'm trying to remember. I was on the Disney Magic, and like right now I can't even recall the boat that I was just on for Norwegian Epic. That's what it was. But like that's an afterthought for me.
We've been on the Splendor, we've been on the Gem. I think it was the Gem.
Yep, the Norwegian Gem, the Carnival Splendor.
We've been on the Allure of the Seas, and we've been on, what was the other Carnival one?
I don't remember. That's our most recent one. Yeah. So.
And this time, since you asked and we had, I don't know if we answered, we're going on the Dream.
Yeah. I think the hard thing for me with the ports and cruises is like you land in the port, which may or may not be in a good location to actually go and see the city or the place that you're in. Mm-hmm. And you have like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to have a good plan of what you're trying to do and where you're trying to get to. Because some of them, it's really hard to just leisurely do. On our last cruise, we went on the coast of California, and one of our stops was Ensenada, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I walked around with the exchange student we had at the time, and it was just so random to just walk around this town. Like, I'd done no looking into it. We had no excursions. So we just walked for like a 2 or 3 mile radius around things so he could see things, because he wanted to see part of Mexico, and that's what we did. And it for me, it was less an experience than just hanging out on the boat. Now, we do have a plan for one or two of the cities that we're going to get some good value out of the ports, but for me, it's just kind of hard to make sure that I'm getting out of it what I want to get out of it.
Oh, see, yeah, I'm a researcher. I watch other people's vlogs from the same ship that get off on the same port, so I like know exactly what my thing's gonna be so that I can kind of map stuff out. So
I watch videos about the ship, of course.
There you go.
I don't know how many YouTube videos I've watched about the Disney Dream and like full tours of the Disney Dream and then like reviews of the food on the Disney Dream, because again, that's the thing that's important to me. Now on day 8, we're getting off the first port on our cruise that we're going to get off on is the Ponta Delgada, which is in the Azores. And we do have a third party excursion booked, because we tried to book the Disney excursion for this, but it was like immediately sold out. Because we're first time Disney cruisers, so we don't get the early access like some of the cruisers who have been on for a while. So all of those things were done. This island looks like it's going to be really beautiful though, so it's probably the thing I'm most excited for.
I will add for those listening that when you're a first time cruiser on a Disney ship, like Tag mentioned, you do not get first pick. But no, don't fear, because this happened to Vern and I when we went on the Magic. If you just keep checking people change their minds, people drop reservations, people adjust stuff. We actually picked up the one that we wanted. I don't remember how close it was to the to when we were going. It wasn't like crunch time. We picked it up. It wasn't the time we wanted. We wanted the earlier time, but we were able to get the afternoon time. Well, then like a couple of days before, I just decided to look and guess what? The morning was open, so we shifted to the morning. So not all hope is lost. People change their minds. You can even look the night, like check at the desk the night before port, because people's plans even change once they're on the boat. Maybe somebody, you know, maybe they decide they love the boat and they don't care about the excursions, or somebody gets sick, or somebody decides the kids club's way more cool, or whatever the reason. They want a spa day, who knows? So
I'm just
always double check.
As we're recording this, which is Thursday, May 2nd, our boat leaves on Sunday. There are some things available now that were not available before. So Teresa's 100%.
You just never know.
Although this Best of the West with Wine and Cheese is one we were.
I don't know. This pineapple one looks fun to me. I'm a pineapple person, though.
Yeah. That could be cool.
Hot Springs Botanical Garden. Sign me up.
Yeah.
You know, the definite perk of going on a Disney-based excursion too is guaranteed to be back on the ship. Mm-hmm. Like if something goes wrong, they'll get you back on the ship or they'll wait. Yeah. Versus the third party one.
So do you guys have a Disney one planned too, or just third party ones?
We're thinking about getting a Disney one for our last day when we get there, to give us some time before we get to our hotel for check-in.
Oh, we can't get that until we're on the ship, though.
Got it. Yep. So, dang, I was kind of hoping you guys would have a third-party one and a Disney one while in the midst of the cruise, so you could like compare what those two experiences were like.
Yep. Nothing of that planned. It's
tough because even with cruise lines we've booked before, like you've explained it, so yeah. I know you have a different view on this than I do, but like it's that Disney difference again, where it's like I could stay across the street on Harbor for way cheaper, or I could stay at the Disneyland Hotel for a lot more, but I'm like on property. So it's kind of like that with the port excursions, because like we booked this Hippo Tour thing that was in one of the ports.
It's in Lisbon.
Lisbon. And Disney offered the same thing, but it was like $40 or $50 more per person. Sure. And I was like, I don't see. But now, in fairness, James looked it up, and the place we have to pick it up is quite a hike from the port.
Sure.
So yeah, like there's some convenience there where Disney, of course, they're going to pick you up right at the port.
No, it depends where we dock, because there was a port that's like right next to it, or there's another port that's further down. Right.
Well, and the other thing too, with which we talked about back on my two cruise discussions that we did for this more recent one, when we did right after we came off of the Norwegian cruise, and then back when we did the Disney cruise. Was that last year? Yeah, that was last year already. It was just that we got organized on the ship in one of the Disney spaces and like got everybody's like grouped out and all that. And so as soon as we like literally were walking, we weren't even on land yet, I could see, oh, there's our guide. We just got to follow him, versus the other one, you kind of had to wiggle your way through and figure out where you were going on your own. So they kind of take that guesswork out of it. So it just depends on your comfort level. If you're comfortable figuring it out on your own, then yeah, you can save some money. If you don't want to have to worry about that, the Disney way, they kind of hold your hand the entire way. You just got to show up, and then they take care of the rest. So it just depends on your comfort level. For us, I'm glad the first time we did it through the cruise, because it just was one less thing I had to figure out and worry about. But now that we've cruised, I have a different, you know, then it's a little different. So what are the things that you guys are both looking forward to?
I'll let food. James answer his.
We already heard that you're excited about food.
Yeah, food, absolutely. I think the dining experiences are going to be great. I've heard so many things about Animator's Palette, for example.
It's fun.
And just what that's like. I'm really intrigued for what it's like for us having 13 nights on the ship. So we'll be able to cycle through the main dining rooms, each of them, four times.
That's
and then
wild.
So like I'm eager if they have enough variety, or if some of it will kind of repeat through.
Sure.
So that I think that'll be interesting, but like I'm really looking forward to all of that food experience with that. The entertainment I think will be really great. I really enjoyed when we were on Royal Caribbean, they did full Broadway production of Mamma Mia. Like it was the full show.
So good.
Which was super cool compared to what we saw in Carnival, where they do like 30 to 45 minute kind of theme shows, which were really nice. I think our first ship experience was better than our second one, because they had a lot more going to it. Norwegian, I don't even remember any of the shows.
Norwegian seems like it's hit and miss because they've got like Beetlejuice, I think, is coming to a Norwegian ship, which, heck yeah. Absolutely. But then like the thing that we didn't see a full Broadway show on ours, it was like a dance show.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing Beauty and the Beast is what's planned for our ship right now. I think that'll be incredible to see along with Golden Mickey's and whatever the other Disney kind of mashup one is. Mm-hmm. So I think those will be great along with whatever else is brought. I think having Disney music in atmosphere in a lot of places is just going to make for a really pleasant experience.
Yeah.
And this shouldn't be a surprise, but I really enjoy trivia.
There's plenty of that.
Every cruise we've ever gone on had tons of trivia. Although I'm concerned because I feel like all the crazy Disney people that know the movies and stuff way better than me.
Yeah. It is tough trivia, though. Those Disney trivia people on cruise ships, they're not messing around.
We did win Star Wars trivia on our last ship.
Yes, but the Royal Caribbean. It was not a Star Wars cruise, James.
No, but there were three other teams that got perfect scores as well. So, like,
yeah.
I'm going in with the mindset of, like, I just want to have fun with it. Like, trivia is never really a serious competitive thing for me because it's never what you know, it's what you remember. And sometimes when you're out at sea, you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Well, and there was some hard, I'm sure they're going to have some overlap, but there were some difficult ones that even like the most well-rounded Disney aficionado would have struggled with because they were like, one of them was quotes, but it was the trivia person saying it deadpan. Well, hearing the words that way versus hearing the character inflections.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally different things. The other thing that they did was they did like 20-second piano snippets of songs that then you had to figure out what the song was and what character sang it.
Love it.
So that could be good or could be terrible, depending on how it went. So you never know. Make sure you do some of the animation classes. There's plenty of those.
James, you didn't talk about the thing you keep telling.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is the character meet and greets.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really neat. It's something that we don't really do a lot of in the park because the lines for it tend to be long or we don't plan around
or
it.
Or we miss them.
Yeah, it's just not something that's really like necessarily important to us, but I like the idea of them a lot. And so like if the right character comes out, I imagine our lines are going to be pretty short, being that this is a cruise that is happening during the school year for most people and taking kids out of school for 2 weeks is no easy task.
Oh, no, it's just going to be a line of Disney adults.
Yep. We're going to be amongst friends.
Yep.
And so I think that could be really neat if they pull out kind of the right characters or even just the unique outfits that I imagine that they have on the cruise ship. I think that'll make for some cool memory.
Yes.
I am looking forward to, and I've mentioned this a bunch of times, but I'm looking forward to the Art Deco style of the ships. Because I feel like that golden age of cruising is what, remember I said earlier, I mentioned Titanic. I feel like this is going to be the closest to that kind of era of visual. So it kind of like checks that second part of that box of wanting to kind of experience that kind of elegant feel. Everything I've seen from the ship makes it look like it's going to be amazing that way. So I'm very excited about that. I'm kind of with James a little bit. Like, I'm not normally a character person. However, every time I have interacted with characters at Disney stuff before, I've had a really good time. So I'm not sure why I don't try to do more with characters when we're places.
I know for me, and I feel like this might be you too, is like, if there's a line and there's like lots of like kids, I feel weird that I'm taking, like, I feel like I shouldn't feel this way. This is a Teresa problem. That I'm taking away time from like the child's experience.
Sure.
And like, I don't necessarily need that same thing, but like, it's really, really special for kids. So I kind of feel like, I don't know, like I'm taking time away from them. If there's characters and like there isn't a line and I don't feel like I'm imposing, then I'm like totally for it.
That's why I liked like the COVID interactions because everybody kind of just was there. Like certain characters like Cruella or like Chip and Dale, I like to kind of watch them interact with other people. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'd want to be like the butt of their jokes because that wouldn't be, that'd be fun for everyone else, but not for me.
Sure, I'd
like to watch other people be the butt of the jokes for those people.
And maybe instead of like, if you don't want to actually go meet all of them, you guys can find a comfy chair near where the meet and greets are happening.
Just watch the interactions.
And watch,
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Teresa, but one of our Disney World trips, we did Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, and Tig was that guy.
Oh, man, that was the worst.
He was not having it.
Because I don't know if you've ever done Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
I have not personally experienced
it. So literally, they work that guy into like a ton of jokes. Yeah. Like, and every time they do it, spotlight on you, you're put up on the screen. And I'm like, okay.
That's why they picked you, because they knew you were just going to be probably a poor sport about it. To make the jokes that much funnier.
It just
made
it that much better for everyone else.
I'm interested in the theming of like the different dining rooms and stuff too, and see how that is. You know, you've spoke highly of the food, so I'm hoping that the food will be kind of a notch above. And then, of course, the thing that, for anybody who listens to the Hub Crawl coming out soon, ended the marriage between me and James, is fireworks. There's fireworks on Disney cruises. By the way, just to let you know, James said that he wanted drones over fireworks.
Yeah, he said drones over fireworks. Drones were in, fireworks were out.
Yep.
And
yep. I was drawing up divorce paperwork.
We all watched Tag's heart just break right in two.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that and like Pirate Night, because I do like pirates. I do like fireworks, and those are both on the same night, so I feel like it's going to be like
overload. Yeah, well, because it's a pirate themed, like the fireworks show thing is pirate themed.
So
if it's similar to
so
what
do they not do fire? They don't do fireworks every night. It's only on the Pirate Night.
Well, I did a four. I don't know about your fancy 13-night cruise.
Right.
My four-night cruise was just the one.
Okay.
But you're in the middle. It might be a thing that maybe, I don't know. It might be only certain places they can do them. You're in the middle of the ocean. You might have,
I can't imagine they're bringing enough fireworks to do that many shows.
I mean, I don't think it's, I wouldn't think every night. But it might be more than once.
Two or three.
Yeah. I wouldn't think every night, but probably more than once. Once you get on and you get your little, you guys both have your apps downloaded, yes?
Got the app downloaded.
Yep. So once you're there, something fun that's different about Disney cruises is there's cruise goer led activities is what we'll call them. So there's things like pixie dusting and cabin gift exchange things, pin trading, things that are specifically Disney, other things that aren't specifically Disney, like hiding the ducks all over the place and finding cruise ducks. Are you guys participating or interested to see, door decorating, that's another thing too. Participating or interested in seeing those things? Because I understand being a first-time Disney cruiser, it's a lot of extra stuff, so it can be overwhelming. But what are your thoughts with
I'm interested to see all of the things.
Stuff?
But we are not participating in any of that. The stuff that
you're not even going to take a DL Weekly Mega and slap it to your.
I'll take it and slap it to our door. But like, we're not stuff. James made it clear in the beginning. He's like, we do not have enough room in our bags to bring extra stuff to do things. So we're not doing that this time. But maybe we will in the future. But I'm excited to see people's door decorations. That's part of the excitement I think I'm going to have walking around the ship, is just seeing door decorations.
You got to do do a cabin tour.
But they've also got our group on Facebook has a bunch of, they've created a bunch of WhatsApp groups or whatever, because apparently WhatsApp continues to work on the ship without buying an internet package. So does iMessage. No photos or anything, but just text messaging. So I joined a couple. And of course, one of the things that James and I really enjoy, we realized, is happening while we're on the ship, which is the Eurovision Song Contest. So we joined a Eurovision Song Contest chat. There's the LGBTQIA+ chat, which hasn't really been active. And then there's a board game chat as well. There's a bunch. I mean, there's just a ton of chats that you could join. Haven't joined most of them because they're very chatty in there. But it'll be a great way to connect with people. We did sign up for like the on-ship 5K. And there's some stuff.
These are all like things that other Disney. This is not something that Disney Cruise Line does. This is stuff that other passengers kind of create extra magic for.
Correct.
How about you, James? Any extra magic things that you're
other than what Tate said? I don't think so. I maybe some pin trading if we remember to pack a few of our extra pins that we're not necessarily so fond of, compared to the other ones. But otherwise, no, I'm just mostly looking forward to what the Disney experience is in a lot of the ways, since this will be like my fifth or sixth cruise I've been on, to just really kind of see that difference.
Got it.
Though it's going to be hard to compare, because as you talk about Disney adults, I'm like, one of the things that a lot of the videos and stuff Tig's been looking at is how much praise there is for the adults only section on the Disney ships. And it's like, we might not need it as much.
You might just have an adult. It might be, who knows? Because that was one thing with our cruise was, the adults only area was like nice and quiet and relaxing. You could always find a chair. There was plenty of space in the hot tubs, in the pools, all that stuff. Because it was very, there was a lot of families. So they were on like the family pool. So like there were adults on the cruise, obviously, but they were all with their kids on the family side.
Yep.
So yeah, so I'm curious how what that's going to look like for you.
I am so surprised looking at the old personal navigators, which I guess are the like itineraries for the day that they have different things. So this same cruise last year, the very first day, I'm just looking like, in the Walt Disney Theater, they have like four different things.
There are.
The Buena Vista Theater, they have a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. The Funnel Vision. Mm-hmm. There's a whole giant laundry list of character appearances, spa events,
and this
photo
is just
events.
One. You're looking at one day.
Yeah, activities fun for all ages with crafts and trivia and animation, and then adult activities like mixology courses and stuff. They have open houses for the youth stuff. They have merchandise events like.
Yeah.
We're not going to be bored.
No, no, you're not. You're going to possibly run into the same problem we ran into, which was having to pick because you couldn't be in two places at once.
Yeah.
Don't forget to eat. That was another thing that we were having issues with because we packed our days so full that we're like, oh, wait, we should probably eat food at some point.
We're very good at eating on cruises.
But when it's like activity to activity to activity, you kind of lose track of time.
I suppose.
Then you're like, wait. What are we doing?
But yeah. Oh my gosh. We haven't eaten when we're recording this.
Yep, but now you're looking at the
Royal Court dinner menu.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, this oven-baked salmon royale sounds amazing.
The other thing that's fun too is each night the bread service is themed. It's different because it's themed to wherever you're at. So Animator's Palette bread service will be different than, I don't know what the other restaurant names are on
Royal
your
Palace
ship.
And Enchanted Garden.
Yes, so it'll be different each time.
I forget how much seafood that Tegel tend to eat on these cruises as well. I'm not a big seafood eater, and so we don't do it a lot at home. And so when we get the chance to do these things, Teg usually is binging on.
It's perfect, then.
James, we have a problem.
He can do what he's doing, you're doing what you're doing, and everyone's happy.
If this is similar even to what the menu is going to be like, the first night, I have to look and see. I think we'll get assigned when we board what our rotation is.
Yeah.
For what?
For food.
Oh, for what restaurant you start at?
Yeah. So Let the Magic Begin dinner menu.
What's probably happening with your cruise is the Let the Magic Begin is probably similar to how they do Pirates Night. It does not matter what dining room you're in. Everybody's got the same menu.
Yeah.
So that's probably everyone, the shared menu throughout
I've
the whole
thing.
I've
only looked at appetizers, and I want all of them.
He didn't even get through all of them, by the way.
James.
Go on.
Prosciutto, mozzarella, and tomato bruschetta.
Yep,
smoked salmon carpaccio.
You.
Fried spiced calamari.
You.
And this chicken pastilla thing.
Moroccan shredded chicken.
Okay, and then they have some good soups and salads. Oh, here's your bread.
Yep, but look, it's not just, here's your bread and butter.
Yeah. They have a penne something or other, a pan-seared
It's a good thing that they let you order multiple things, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm going to be like, can I just have one of everything on the menu, please? And then they're going to be like, you've asked for a private table. There's not enough room here.
We better make sure that we really eat a light lunch.
Well, we're going to eat lunch when we get on, because everybody says eat when you get on the ship instead of whatever. Anyway,
It'll be I'm super, super fun.
And I shouldn't
super
be
fun.
Hungry.
Tell us about what room you guys are going to be staying on for your 13 nights living on a Disney cruise ship.
So we're on the 10th floor towards the back. Cabanas is literally right above us, which is the buffet. Mm-hmm. The good news is Cabanas is not open for dinner. So in the evening, our room should be quiet to like go to bed and stuff like that, which will be nice.
Yeah,
the better news is we're not under the pool.
Yes, we could have been under the pool, which when we looked up something online, we watched a video and they were like, the worst rooms on a Disney cruise ship are the ones that are below the pool. And we're like, oh gosh, where are we? Okay, we're not below the pool.
There you go. So this is going to be maybe an interesting one. Any fears or hesitations before boarding on this ship, since it's your first Disney cruise and you are Disney fans, do you have any like worries?
Well, I just want to say one last thing about the room. We're also right next to an elevator, and all of the activity stuff seems to be like one deck above us. This will be the closest we've ever been to the center of everything of all the cruises we've gone on. A lot of the times we do lower rooms, except for Royal Caribbean. We did
the higher room
because we wanted
floor.
A balcony. Yeah. We were on the 7th floor. But
we'll see how this goes for you because I was not on the same ship, but most of our activities were like levels between like levels 3 to 7.
That makes sense for how a lot of the ship layout goes. So
yeah.
Because like the kids' clubs and stuff were kind of higher up by the pool. I'm sure that was intentional.
That makes a lot of sense. So, but to answer your question, things I am worried about. I don't think I have any hesitations or worries about it. Like, I know Disney's going to bring a good product out of this and we'll have a great experience. I think it's just kind of the time frame that I think is going to be the most interesting thing. You know, this is 5 nights longer than anything we've done before. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'll be a long time on the ship. I don't think we've ever gotten off a cruise and been like, yep, that was enough time. So I'm not really that worried about it. I think it'll be interesting, though, because this will be our first time where our first 6 nights are all like at sea as we're crossing the Atlantic. And so I enjoyed reading online of people talking about that first port. Everyone's just rushing off the boat, checking their cell signal to try to catch up on what's happening in the rest of the world for a change. And I'm excited to be disconnected from a lot of things and just not think about it or worry about it and just kind of enjoy that. So, I mean, I'm not worried about being bored. I'm not worried about being hungry. I'm excited to be immersed in the Disney atmosphere that comes with it. Like, I'm really looking forward to having the music and the sounds and the characters all around. I think it's just going to be incredible.
You just gave me like a hesitation fear for you. I'm worried for you when Tag gets cell reception again and has to clear all of the notification bubbles.
It's
because
true.
Tag is like, it's like whack-a-mole with notification bubbles. He can't.
Oh, I'm a completionist, yes.
Yep, he cannot have notification bubbles. So I'm concerned for you.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing our excursion is like a 45-minute ride to our first stop.
Yeah. And I already bought data with the Aerolo, which we did before in Europe, and I should have plenty of data for all that stuff. Just so you know, Teresa. So Decks 5, 4, and 3 have a lot of, like, the clubs and stuff.
Oh,
Decks 11, 12, and 13 have all the, like, the bigger, like, well, they have all the outdoor stuff, of course, but then there's also, like, the buffet.
But D-Lounge is a lot of the stuff will be in that D-Lounge thing.
Yeah, the Royal Palace is on Deck 3. Animator's Palette's on Deck 3. That's interesting, because every cruise ship we've gone on, I feel like, haven't a lot of the food things, James, been, like, up?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this will be interesting. Enchanted Gardens on Deck 2.
I think the exception was Royal Caribbean, because two of the food things were on the Promenade, which was like Deck 4 or 5, and that's where we spent a lot of time at Sorrento's, the pizza place.
That's okay, though. It'll still be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Worries for me, I think the worry for me is more a worry for James, which is, if it's as great as everybody says it is, and it's that much better of an experience over a regular cruise, it'll be like, well, when are we booking our next one? It'll be like, oh, no.
But are you kidding? I think James might be like, okay, good. More cruises in my future.
Yeah, but this is the frugal side of me, because the Disney cruise cost is an extreme premium most of the time when you're talking about shorter trips. This transatlantic one is an incredible bargain compared to everything else. Like, I feel like we paid the price for what we'd pay for like a 5-night Disney cruise, and we're getting 8 extras out of it. And so, will I like the idea of more cruises? Oh, of course I would. But the rest of the cost that comes with it is definitely something that I know exists.
The thing with Disney cruises is the earlier you book, the better the cost. So, like, the cruise that Vern and I are going on, that my mom is now joining us, next year, we booked that not long after the booking window. And I looked at it, it's jumped probably about $1,000 for the exact same room that we've already booked. So that makes a huge, huge difference. But yeah, the transatlantic cruises, or the cruises that have a different start and end port, I almost think Disney and other places know those are, quote, less desirable, because now you got to spend more on your airfare.
Yeah, because you can't just get a round trip airfare.
For whatever reason, half of a round trip flight is not half the price of a round trip flight.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. So, I mean, depending, there are airlines out there that do price per leg, which makes 1,000 times more sense, but the majority of them do not.
Yeah. Overall, I'm excited. I'm also, one of the things that I don't know about yet, and we won't know till we get on the ship, is I'm curious what movies they're going to play. Because when there's new movies that come out, they play those new movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything new. One of the movies that was scheduled to come out while we were gone, but got pushed back. And I was curious if they were going to play it on was the Daredevil.
No, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Deadpool and Wolverine. Sorry, there was a D in there. That is definitely a hard R-rated film. So
right.
I figured maybe it would play like late, like at 11 o'clock. Oh, the other thing that I'm worried about, and I think James is also a little concerned about, is basically every night we put the clocks an hour ahead.
Oh, yes.
Well, here you go. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes releases on May 10th.
Okay.
That's really all he got.
I am not.
You'll be back for the other one.
What do you think about
up to date on that series?
This is so not
related to what we're talking about.
Related to what we're talking about, but Jim Henson, the Jim Henson original documentary is releasing on Disney Plus on May 31st. That one looks like it's going to be super cool. And also, now I'm on my own little. I got to stop looking at this.
Stop looking
Inside Out 2 is coming out June 14th. I didn't realize that was right around the corner, too.
What do you think about the idea of every single night the clock goes ahead an hour?
This is my thought. You're on the cruise ship. You're on cruise time. It don't matter. You just got to try and keep some sort of idea of what time it is because of all of the scheduled things that you're
doing. Day 2, forward 1 hour. Day 3. Forward 1 hour.
I mean, at least it's always the same thing. Nothing.
Day 4 doesn't have a forward 1 hour. Day 5, forward 1 hour.
They just always have your TV on. Just set your watch to whatever the TV tells you.
Well, the other thing, too, is because we're connected to the Wi-Fi, I think our cell phones will update automatically because as long as the network has the time.
Yeah, I don't remember if ours did or not.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too.
But at the very least, just turn on your TV.
at least it's a subtle shift, so I feel like that 1 hour won't be as abrupt as a lot of people getting the jet lag.
Sure.
But I'm with you. I'm very curious of what that experience is like of the slow clock movement.
Every day we're going to wake up and it's like an hour later than we woke up the day before, and we're like, wow, we slept in a long time.
That would be, I think it'd be weirder to go the opposite direction.
Where you lose an hour?
Yeah, where you're,
yeah.
No. Aren't you losing an hour? Didn't it say move your clock forward?
Oh, yeah. So you're gaining an hour.
So gaining an hour every day might be a little...
That'd be a little harder.
Stranger.
We tend to be early to bed, early to rise people on cruises for some reason, too, which always kind of surprises me. I think we just do a lot of things.
That's because we eat, and then we go into food coma.
Oh, you should have signed up for the late dining then. Then you could have like pushed your food coma back a few hours.
No, Teresa, you don't understand.
We need
Second dinner that we go into food coma from.
I was going to say, because we did like two lunches is how we did. We did breakfast, lunch, second lunch, and then our late dining time.
Oh, see, we do breakfast, lunch, dinner, second dinner. We eat a lot.
We embrace the cruise life.
Did you have pizza on the Disney cruise?
There's pizza on the Disney cruise.
Did you like the pizza on the Disney cruise?
There was so many like amazing things. I did try it. It was because they had weird stuff. Like they had different themed pizzas each day. I don't remember what it was though, now that we're talking about it. But it was right next to the place that had gyros, so I tended to get gyros instead.
I also forgot you guys never did any of the specialty dining. You only did the rotational dining.
Yep,
you
just didn't the do rotational. Paolo or oh no, whatever their yeah, thing was. No. We did Remy's. Not do Paolo or Remy. We also are not. I don't know. Maybe because I've never experienced Paolo or Remy. So don't come after me if you're a Paolo Remy person. But the dining to me was so elevated at the regular dining that I didn't feel like I needed that additional experience. Does that make sense?
That's how I look at it as well, typically. So.
Yeah. I could see now on like the Norwegian ship, I did see, there's probably a difference here. Because to me, that food wasn't as elevated as what the Disney Cruise Line has. So again, it'll be interesting to see your guys' reactions and your thoughts since you've had a lot of cruise experiences versus me literally only doing two. So
I'm also excited for the room service.
Make sure, don't forget, get your Mickey premium bars.
Of course.
I don't care about Mickey
premium bars. It's just fun to have it delivered to your room.
I don't even like Mickey premium bars. I don't know why.
You could have it delivered to your room at any time of day. Like that, it's just fun.
I'm sure there's other things on there.
There are other things too.
The food.
The Mickey premium bar is actually not even on the menu. You just got to ask.
Good to know.
Well, I think you could ask for almost anything, and they would bring it to you. I've heard.
I don't know. about that. I can only speak to the Mickey premium bars.
I wish they had
the
like
room
a link
service
to the...
is included, but the tip is not. You have to, I think room it's a service. Cash. Here maybe it's a cash tip for that.
But we got our outfits planned for Pirates Night. We got matching shirts for whatever day we decide to wear them. I'm guessing probably day one.
What, the new matching shirts or current matching shirts?
New matching shirts.
Ooh, what are the new matching shirts?
Well, we have ones that you were there for Pirate Night, where I, well, not matching shirts, but I have a pirate shirt and James has a pirate shirt. Yep. And then I found through our Facebook group, there was a Etsy kind of order that was just had like the cruise, like the dates on it, mm-hmm. and like that it's on the ship. They're white because I was like, oh, I don't want to get something dark, and then it ends up being like hot, and then you're like, why are we wearing this? So
nope, you just got it white so that you can spill your second and third dinners and lunches on it.
You know I will. So
oh, I'm so ordering the all hands on deck from room service. It's a special selection of international cheeses served with crackers. Mm-hmm. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Okay, tags. Okay, you don't even care about the ship. You're just excited about the food.
Well, because I haven't seen the ship yet. Like, I mean, I have on videos, but I'll be very, when I come back, I will probably talk. There'll probably be an entire like 20-minute section of
maybe that'll be a bonus episode
about the ship. Whatever. You can have buttered popcorn delivered to your room.
You sure can. They also have popcorn for sale at the theater. So when you do like your nighttime theater, yours will be before dinner activities. You can buy Disney popcorn before you go.
We saw a hack online to buy the bucket because then you get cheaper popcorn.
You can buy the bucket and get cheaper popcorn. Yes.
And on a transatlantic, that might totally be worth it because the popcorn is going to be way, like, it'll be too much to get every night.
I'm trying to double check. I think you can bring your own bucket. So you don't have to buy one of their buckets.
We don't have room for that. But also, I heard that there is a cup that you can get that's meant for kids, but I'm going to probably get it because you get discounted smoothies on the ship if you have the smoothie cup.
I don't know about a smoothie cup.
There is a beer cup.
But there is also a drink of the day cup.
Yes.
That if you want to do the drink, if you want to get some adult beverages, you can get this cup and you get a cheaper price on your drinks.
Hmm. I don't imagine exploring too much in the drinks for me personally. I'm usually a pretty simple water, iced tea, and with soda being included, I'm like, oh, that'll be plenty for me. So I might grab a drink or two here and there.
I don't know why, but I get tired. I mean, we have soda this time included, which we have not on previous cruises. But I usually find myself getting virgin strawberry daiquiris. But if they have smoothies, that's even better.
There you go.
Yeah, so they still have the drink of the day.
Okay, so the cup is bigger, so you get a bigger serving for the same price. So that's the quote-unquote discount. You get a larger size for the same price.
Here it is. Similar offer for souvenir kids smoothie cup. It's offered during the Sail Away celebration, enables you to receive larger smoothie refills than if purchased on its own. And boom, boom, boom.
I bet you, I wonder if it's the same cup.
Could be. But I totally want this smoothie thing. I don't know. It's weird. I also want to experience, but apparently it's already sold out, but maybe we can check on the board, is they have the rainforest room, which is part of the spa that's supposed to be really cool to go just chill in.
Double check when you
did
get
on board.
Did you
guys go on that?
We did not. Oh, no. We had our... No. I don't even know where the spa was on the ship because we were that distracted by activities. And it wasn't a big ship, mind you. We were on the Magic, which is the first Disney Cruise Line ship. It is one of the two smallest ships because there's the Magic and the Wonder, I think, is the other one that are the quote-unquote small ships. And still never saw the spa because we were too distracted with everything else.
Yeah, the Magic and the Wonder were the first two. Oh, yeah, passenger capacity was 2,700 versus 4,000 on the Dream and Fantasy.
They're smaller.
Then you get up to the Disney Treasure Adventure Destiny, which goes up.
The Adventure has 6,000. The Wish is only 4,000.
Hmm. Yeah, but this is that one they bought.
Still.
Yeah. I'm excited, though, because people have said that the Disney Fantasy is like the best ship, and the Disney Dream is basically the almost the exact same
like
thing.
Sister ships or whatever you want to call them,
So I'm very excited
Any parting thoughts before you embark on your... Your first Disney cruise.
Feel like I could already. So if it ends up being fine, like it's not.
I think you're going to talk yourself out of it because you're so nervous about it. That's my thought. I think you're going to talk yourself out of it being better.
Maybe. I was just going to say, I think that it might go the other way because I can already hear right now, like, that you would disagree with my saying that, like, well, it was okay. And you're like, what do you mean it was okay?
Vern and I are through and through Disney cruisers. We're still going to give another ship, another line a chance just to be certain. Mm-hmm. But I think we're Disney cruisers through and through. But we weren't keen on the idea of cruising in general prior to it. So, like, I think it was perfect that our first cruise was Disney because I don't know if we would have cruised if it wasn't Disney because we love Disney.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it was good we did it that way. But yeah, I think we're stuck being Disney cruisers from now forward.
I will be honest with you. I do think it's going to be a good experience no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think it is a premium product. The two questions I want to answer for myself is it worth the premium price?
Yeah.
And is it that much better than, like, our other good cruise experiences?
Yeah. I'm curious what you both have to say about that as well.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I'm not the Disney Kool-Aid drinker where I'm like, they can do no wrong and everything is just amazing that they come out with kind of thing. Like, some people are that, like, they're like, well, it's Disney. It's obviously great. So I'm not sure. We'll see. I hope that you're right, and I hope it's going to be amazing. But again, I'm worried for James, because if it is that way, I'm going to be like, James, we can only go on Disney cruises.
Then James knows the loophole or the what you got to do. You just got to talk to our friends over at Concierge, have them be on the lookout for good cruises, and just
snatch it up
for you right when they come out.
I do want
best of both worlds.
I do want to say that too. Concierge did book this for us.
They did.
We found it while we were looking for other cruises, and so we immediately messaged Bethany over at Concierge, and Bethany was like on it, and she got it registered. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the one thing I found from them that I think is worth going with them, if for no other reason, is they send you a link to a tool that they use that they put all of your info in. And I can tell you some of the stuff they put in there is stuff that, like, I couldn't even find on the Disney website easily. Like, they had information about Wi-Fi and how much it cost.
Oh.
They had information for, like, they had, it's just all in one place.
Yeah.
She put in, we had booked a bunch of other stuff, like our flights out there and our flight back. And we had an Airbnb, like we've cobbled together a bunch of that. We had a train reservation from Chicago home because we're flying back into Chicago because mm-hmm. we couldn't fly locally. She was able to put all of that into this app. So literally, I don't have to go searching for emails and confirmations. I can just look in this one place and it has all the information there, which I messaged her. I said, I don't know what platform. Well, I do know what platform she uses because it's the platform. You have to download the app. But like, but like, I've never seen a platform like this.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing. And I think, like, if for no other reason to book with Concierge, if you have all, you know, whatever, is this platform is amazing.
It was and, so helpful.
Yeah. And so James and I downloaded the app. It's on our phone. Anytime we need something, we just open up that thing and there's our stuff. And it's
perfect.
Wonderful. Yeah. So I'm excited.
How about
we're leaving in, as we record this, we're leaving in 2 days.
How about for you, James? Any parting thoughts?
I think Jake covered it well. I'm just excited to be off, fully immersed in a Disney cruise world, just kind of enjoying a break as a nice gateway into our summer.
That's something else I don't know if we mentioned. This will be the first time that I am not buying an internet package.
I'm shocked. I genuinely am.
I am really looking forward to totally disconnecting for the 5 or 6 days we're at sea. Obviously, when we get to Spain, I'll have like internet or whatever, but I'm looking forward to those few days of totally being inaccessible for being able to go on the internet for things.
I'm still just very concerned, more so for James, for when you have all your notification bubbles popping up everywhere.
He's right, though. We have a 45-minute drive to the location.
I don't know. Is that going to be enough time?
We'll figure it out.
I'm pretty fast at going through the notification. What takes me time is like my Mastodon account where I'm going through. Yeah. But when it comes to like the email and stuff, like that'll be my first priority is to get through like my emails.
Yeah.
And that should be hopefully fairly quick. But I'll tell you, like this morning I woke up, I had like 10 unread emails in my personal email and like 3 unread work emails. So like imagine 6 days mm-hmm. and that's just overnight. Oh, that's not even like throughout the day.
I know the volume that I get because somehow I got on all sorts of lists that I'm like, why? Why Molly's List? Most of emails are just.
But when you come back to work, how bad is it?
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
So I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But we also have a day in Chicago, so like I could be doing stuff there. We have the train ride home. Like there's a lot of time to catch up on some of that.
Yep.
I'm just worried about the moments after getting of having nothing.
Yeah, it's going to be.
That's going to be the most epic game of whack-a-mole.
It's going to be amazing.
Whack a notification.
And I'm just going to embrace the rest of the world and the things we see at the Azores.
James is
going
to be enjoying the quiet while Tag's trying to get through all of your little notification
that
bubbles.
That sounds perfect for James.
Yep.
He's going to be tired of me being around.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we wish you both a fun and safe journey. And like I said, I'm very excited to hear your thoughts once you return back after this.
I'm guessing it's going to be at least a two-parter.
At least a two-parter.
I mean, it's 13 nights. There's a lot to talk about.
There is.
And this has already been random musings enough. So just wait until we have stories to tell.
Until we have musings? Yes.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out how Teresa does without Tag here to hitch a wagon to her.
You know, you're making it sound like I'm hopeless without myself. Or without Tag.
No, I'm saying that you do well without...
I don't.
You do as well without Tag. Because... I know his answering style, and he.
This was a tough week.
It really was. I was looking through multiple questions as I was choosing tonight, and I didn't really pay attention which ones I had chosen tonight, and it was tougher than I thought it was. So let's get right into it. Your first listener submitted question tonight from listener #SaveTeresasTrees. WALL-E is probably one of the most beloved little robots known to cinema history. What does WALL-E stand for?
Waste. And something.
You got waste right.
That's because you gave it to me.
The correct answer we were looking for was Waste Allocation Load Lifter, Earth Class.
There you go.
Your second listener submitted a question from listener Tim J. In the Q Courtyard for Pirates, the ride name sign above the fountain features images of two blank and a blank. The answer you gave was two mermaids and a skull.
Wearing a pirate hat.
Wearing a pirate hat, yes.
Very important.
The correct answer that I was looking for was two mermaids and a skull.
The one I got right, the one and only. Oh, I'm so happy.
Well done.
It wasn't a total dud week.
Your third listener submitted a question from listener Michael R. What is the name of the public house / inn that you see in Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? You answered Stumped. The correct answer that I was looking for was the Green Dragon.
Oh! Yes. Yes.
The public house other than Winky's Pub. Yes.
Now that you just said the green, yes. Yes, I remember that. I don't remember where it is in the layout.
Like I said, I don't know where is. I know there's Winky's Pub. I know there's Green Dragon. I can't tell you what order, where they are. It's been too long since I've actually watched a ride through or ridden it, but I know it's there.
All right, so we just did a quick POV ride through video to confirm it's just past Winkies, but it's also after where you can spot Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. Yes,
so
it is.
Sherlock Holmes, when you leave Winkies Pub, the Sherlock Holmes reference and silhouette is on the left. The Green Dragon is up ahead on your right. So
yes.
As soon as you said that, I was like, yes, I remember that. Dang. Too bad I couldn't actually remember it for the trivia question.
But now you know.
Now we know.
Now we know. And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Andy M. Disney legend Sterling Holloway was famously the original voice for Winnie the Pooh. Can you name three other animated characters or narrators he has voiced? Your answer was Stumped. And I would have been stumped myself if I didn't have the answer in front of me. But as I read the answers, it's the signature lisp that Pooh Bear has. Mr. Stork from Dumbo,
oh,
1941 edition. Mm-hmm. The adult flower from Bambi. Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland. Ka from The Jungle Book, 1967 edition.
Wow.
Roquefort from Aristocats. Narrated for the Antarctic Penguin sequence from The Three Caballeros, 1944. And Lambert the Sheepish Lion, 1952.
Wow. I didn't realize. Wow.
Yep.
I would not have thought that, like, now that you say it, it makes sense. But, like, Winnie the Pooh and Ka the Snake. Like, yeah, it makes total sense now that you say it. But
and,
yeah,
and very young me always caught that lisp and said, the stork and the Cheshire Cat are the same. And then later I started catching that Pooh and Ka were the same. I never put that all four of them were the same, but I did catch some.
Very
yeah.
interesting.
Yep. So, yeah, that signature lisp is Sterling Holloway. And your bonus question tonight from listener Donna S. How deep is the Jungle Cruise River? You said 3 to 4 feet, 3.5 feet. Well, the correct answer we were looking for was in the Hippo area, it's 6 feet deep, but the rest of the way is 3.5 feet.
Don't know how I came to 3.5. That's specifically all on my own.
Amazing. There wasn't anybody throwing finger signals or anything.
Well, no. You didn't even. You flat out said, you mean 3.5? I don't know. It's
don't
at least
know
3.
What
maybe
you
between
are talking
3 and 4.
About. I never
the listeners
heard
can
such
rewind and
silliness.
Hear.
That's crazy talk. Anyway, listeners, how do you think Teresa did?
Terrible.
How did you do listening at home? Do you have that perfect question that you would love to hear next time? Well, feel free to send that in to us at dlweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sidel for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.